Gotta believe it. Listen, we'll go ahead and get right into preaching tonight. Kids, that was a good singing. That was mighty, mighty good singing. Hey, I would rather hear somebody sing wholeheartedly than I had somebody sing correct. I've seen them sing correct that make me want to vomit, putting on the show. Amen. I love seeing these kids get up here and sing with all their heart. If you was watching, even some of the little guys knew every word, every song, they just sing in their hearts. Amen. What a blessing. Go to Mark chapter number 5 tonight. Mark chapter number 5. I'm glad you saved, say amen.
Amen.
I'm ringing just a tad. Not going to bump me down, just a tad, Brother Randy. It says ringing. Mark chapter number 5. Is that better? They're off. Mark chapter number 5. I'll start reading in verse 21. Share a thought with you. I hope it don't take very long, but I'm going to preach till it's done. Share a thought with you. I traveled the last 2 weeks. Week before last, I was in Marion, North Carolina. Brother Tony, man, had a great, great meeting up there. And this past week, I was down in Cantonment or Pensacola, Florida area with Brother Jim and Gady, and had a great meeting down there. Something happened on both trips that I really struggle with and have a hard time, and that's traffic.
Amen, brother.
I despise it. Coming home from North Carolina, I got to Greenville, Brother Charles, and I sat in Greenville, North Carolina for an hour and a half and never moved. People were cutting their vehicles off and getting out, walking around. My goodness, and I asked the trucker, he was standing there, I said, man, what's going on? It was a bad wreck. And I felt bad for getting mad because I'm sure somebody was hurt, so I prayed. But I got to Atlanta. Finally, I'm about to get home. And there's one of them electronic signs over the freeway. Normally I just go 85, just straight to 20 and come on to the house. And there's a sign right before you get into Atlanta that said, find alternate route. In other words, don't even come this way. Said heavy traffic due to events. Started to Pensacola on Monday. I got somewhere down 85 about the Alabama line. And there was a sign that said this, and it's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. Expect delay. Expect delay. I sat there in that traffic, and the Holy Spirit, I got mad when I saw the sign. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and used that little sign to preach to your preacher for just a minute. He said, you knew you was going to be traveling before you ever left. If you can't handle the traffic, stay off the road. Americans are the most impatient people in all the world. We are. We're rotten. I stand in front of the microwave waiting on popcorn, pop up my foot. I'm like, come on, let's get this going. Let's get this out here right now. Amen. I don't want microwave popcorn, I want it instant, amen. But we're impatient people. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, if you're gonna travel, you might as well prepare yourself before you go, because you can expect delay. He said you might even want to leave a little earlier, because you pretty well know it's going to happen. And I began to think about that, and I thought about this scripture right here, and I thought about it's that way in our Christian life too, Brother Charles. We can expect delays when it comes to things of our Christianity. Have you ever had God delay you on an answer? You pray about something and it doesn't happen. Some people get upset and they get sideways with the Lord. 20 some odd years we prayed for Brother Freddie's dad to get saved. I'm glad we didn't give up and quit around year 10. I'm glad we continued to pray. God delayed. I don't know why God delayed that. God could have dealt with that man's heart and saved him anytime he wanted to. But God waited till 1 week before he died to save his soul. Amen. We want the Lord to be patient with us. But we want him to be Johnny on the spot. Somebody help me right there. Now when God allows delays to come in your life, sometimes he's trying to build some character in you and build your faith. Sometimes delays are of our own making. Amen. Traveling up 85, I usually have a self-inflicted delay at the Bass Pro Shop. I like to go in there and look around. Amen. I don't know how many times I go in there. I don't do it at Walmart, but I can do it at Bass Pro Shop. I can go in there and walk around for an hour and leave another. Amen. Yeah. I'll delay myself. God's answer, sometimes the delay is he's waiting on us to get where we need to be so he can answer that prayer.
That's right.
Are we okay? Just common sense tonight. Sometimes you want God to move and you want God to do something and God's saying, it's your turn.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir.
You ever play checkers?
Yes, sir.
A lot of people play chess. I've never had anybody teach me how to play that. It looks like a pretty interesting game. And I play checkers with the grandkids every now and then and I'll say, hey, it's your move. Well, I thought it was your move. No, it's your move. And I wonder how many times with God and his children it ain't just like that. We're sitting there thinking it's God's move, and God's sitting there knowing it's our move.
Amen.
God says, I've got what you need, and I've got the answer. I know exactly what you need to hear. I know exactly what needs to happen, but there's something in your heart that needs to get right first. There's something you need to do first. There's someone you need to go to first. And we cause the own delay, our own delay. Sometimes I believe God just intentionally delays us. Amen. I've heard preachers say, I started this church, I thought it would get a lot bigger, a lot quicker. God's delaying the growth. Maybe delaying the growth for giving the preacher time to grow. If I had this many people, Brother Charles, day one, 24 years ago, I've shot myself. I'm not making a joke. I'm just telling you like it is. There's no way. I don't feel like I'm doing that good a job now. But if I'd have had this responsibility 23 or 24 years ago, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. Every young preacher, man, I want a big church. No, you don't. You know what this church and I did together? We grew together.
That's right.
Literally grew together. Freddie Young and I have grown in the Lord together for 18, 19 years. Brother Charles and I have grown together. He didn't have gray hair when I came here. A lot of us have grown, Brother. Brother Greg Godfrey and I, we've grown together. Brother David Connell and I have grown together. Clint and Randy, and we could go on and on and on. I'm talking about some old timers and Linda and people that's been around here a long time. We've kind of grew up in Jesus together. Listen, when I took this church, I was young. I was 28 years old. I went to nobody's school. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had a Bible and a fire burning in my soul. Didn't have sense enough to get out of shower rain. A lot of you, when you came here 20-something years ago, you didn't have a clue what you were doing either. So you didn't know how bad I was messing up. Only one that knew is Brother Charles, and he'd sit there and shake his head. Oh, boy. He still shakes his head from time to time. Amen. Sometimes we wonder what the delay is for. Sometimes we're going to read some scripture in a second. I'm just going to give you this little thought. Sometimes there's a delay that he gets greater glory. Mary and Martha said, if you'd have been here, they're telling him, you're late. But if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Lazarus dead. He'd been in the grave 4 days and stinking. But if you'd have been here, do you think Jesus knew Lazarus was dead? Of course he did. Do you think maybe he laid him back for a little bit on purpose? Not because he wanted the hearts of his friends to be broken. Because he wanted the greater glory out of the situation. So he delayed. When he got there, he told them, you know, he said, I am the resurrection. He got to that graveside and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out and he said, loosen and let him go. Now, what do you think brought more glory to Jesus? If he had went on when he first heard and healed him of pneumonia or whatever it was, or raised him from the dead.
Amen.
The delay was to give God more glory. God may just be wanting to get more glory out of your life.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 21. Mark. What did I say?
Amen.
Say what I said to begin with. That's Mark. Amen. Mark chapter number 5. It's all good. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth to the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I'd say we could relate this to traffic. It was a slow go, if you will. They were just shuffling along. And I'm wondering, is Jairus thinking, come on, I told you she's at the point of death. We need to get busy. They've already hit a delay in a crowd of traffic. Jesus is being thrown by multitudes. I picture this like when you see somebody famous on TV in a public place. Like some big rock star or something, and the people just, you know how they do it? And that's the way they're doing around Jesus. I'm not relating him to a rock star, you know what I'm saying? It's just this mob of people. You ever been in a crowd, Brother Philip, like Disney World? Magic Kingdom, on a Wednesday of all days. Walk like penguins, about all you can do. Slow go. Let me finish reading. Where did I get to? 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, come in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, you're crazy, man. Everybody's touching me. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. Now stay with me. There's a man waiting on the shore when Jesus gets there. This man's name is Jairus. He runs to Jesus in a panic. My daughter is at the point of death. Did he say point of death or nigh unto death? Same difference. Nigh unto death. My little girl is dying. Can you imagine the pain in daddy's heart? Come on, daddy, talk to me. Now, I've got faith enough to believe that if you come to my house and touch her, she'll be healed. Jesus agrees to go, so now this man is thinking in his mind, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. I've got the master. He's agreed to go, but then the going gets really slow.
Amen.
He's strong by a multitude. He stopped over and over and over. Remember the man's mind. His daughter is dying.
Yes.
Right.
I've been getting a little upset.
Yeah.
I've been getting a little anxious. I'd be like, I got to you first. I was waiting on you when you got here.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
The Lord allowed this delay. And then it gets even worse. A little lady with the issue of blood reaches and gets his garment. Out of everybody thrown at him, he knows virtue has gone out of him, so he stops. Who touched me? And they go through this whole dissertation with that. Now imagine this guy's going, come on. Come on. How often do we get like that with God? God, please, come on, do it now. The Lord just casually goes about his way, doing what he's doing. I'm imagining this man's heart. Feel like God is wasting some precious minutes because his daughter is dying. Matter of fact, look at the next verse. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, say the next four words. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's too late. It's too late. The Lord has delayed here and here and here and here, and then spent all his time with this woman. And all the time, my daughter was dying, and now she's dead. And even his own people said, why bother the master anymore? You know what they're saying? It's too late. It's too late now. He killed too much time. It's too late. I would have thought that. You would have thought that. As a matter of fact, in many situations during my Christian life and many situations in pastoring this church over the years, I've looked at Brother Chris and went, it's too late now.
Amen.
The Lord showed up and proven me wrong. Time and time again. Let me say something to you. I got points. I don't even know if I'll get to them. It's alliterated real pretty and everything. But I think it's more important you get the message than you get the point. Are you listening? You know what the Lord said in Isaiah? He said, even as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. God don't work like we work. God don't count time like we count time. And we serve a God who loves us, who cares for us. He ever liveth to
to make intercession, but he's working on my behalf day in and day out, 24/7, 360, woo, 365 days a year. Hey, he's my advocate.
Amen.
He loves me and he cares about me and he knows where I am and he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
He knows my name. That's right, brother. I've got a little bit impatient over the years about this building getting paid off. We can't do anything else until it does. Maybe we're not ready for it. I don't know. But I got to the point where I quit worrying about it. I got to the point where I said, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing.
Amen.
If Sarah can have a baby,
yeah.
When she's old, you can pay off a building when I'm old. If she can have a baby at 90, what was she, 99? 90. She can have a baby at 90 years old, I believe I can go through a building program and send it. Amen. Probably about the same difference. I'm just making light, ladies, I'm kidding. God's proven faithful. Time, time, time again. Hey, people in this room, you probably didn't get it. But you're a little upset in God that he hadn't done that thing you expected. How do you know he's not called? Who said he was? Maybe the neighbors come and say, it's too late. Why bother the master now? She's dead. Ain't nothing can be done. Devil will tell you a situation in your life today that's beyond repair. It's beyond fixing. Don't listen to the devil. The Lord heard what they said. And before Jairus could even say anything, the Bible said as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. What's the next two words? Only believe. What are you talking about believe? Man, they just told me my daughter today. Don't be afraid. Only believe. The Bible said he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado? And weep. The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. And watch what they did. Same thing Sarah did. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise.
Amen.
And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. I reckon so.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He charged them straightly that no man should know it. Commanded that something should be given her to eat. It's a pretty amazing story.
Right. Amen.
This fellow had every natural reason to believe his daughter died.
Amen.
Because Jesus took his time.
Amen.
Just like Mary and Martha. Oh, they had faith. He had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter. They had faith that he could heal Lazarus. Lazarus was his buddy, his friend. But once that impossible thing showed up, oh, if you'd have been here, what's the devil got in your life that he's telling you it's too long?
Amen.
It can't be true.
Ladies, I wonder how many family members this time of year ago looked at your life and said, let me tell you something. With Jesus, it ain't never. Say, Lord, you know what you do. I'm just going to trust you. Listen, I just give you these poems and I'm done. Delays are unavoidable. Delays are unavoidable. When I was in Greenville, South Carolina, I did everything I could do on my phone to see if there was a way around me. It was unavoidable. If I'm coming home, I'm going to have to sit till they get this wreck cleared up. Delays are going to come. It's a fact of life. We need to learn not to be so impatient. And here's what I'm afraid we do during the delays. We do just like Mary and Martha. We do just like Jairus' people that work for him. This room. It's too late. There ain't no way. I'm just going to give up. How many of you have prayed for a lost loved one for 24 years without fail? 18 of those years, I prayed at least once a week for the salvation of Fred Young. No, I'm not super Christian. No, don't get me wrong. But for some reason, I saw a not give up spirit in him.
Yeah, right.
And I thought to myself, if he's going to keep putting it on there, I'm going to keep praying.
Amen.
He's in the hospital on his deathbed. Died. Days before, he couldn't even talk. Was that right? He couldn't even talk. You couldn't have witnessed to him. He was out. He woke up long enough for Brother Charles to come in that room and say, Mr. Young, look me in the eyes. God knew what he was doing all 24 years.
Amen.
What if we'd have quit a year before? God knew all along, you're going to say. Amen. God knew all along. How many times have you given up on something and then God did? Don't ever give up on it. Delays are unavoidable. They're going to come. We can't get around them. They're uncontrollable. That's man coming down the road with that crowd thronging Jesus. It was like that traffic on 85. There was nothing he could do. Sat there with anguish in his heart knowing his baby died. Our problem is when delays come, we think God needs some help. Just like Abraham.
Yeah.
Well, he said he's going to give us a son. He said it's going to be like the sands on the sea and the stars in the sky. But hey, honey, I'm getting old. This ain't happening. I got a good idea. Why don't we help God out? Why don't you go in under my handbag? And we'll have a son by her. Anybody know what his name was? His name. Do you know who his descendants are?
Yeah.
Isis. Got ahead of God. Made a mess. I've done it, and you've done it, but delays, when God is delayed, it's out of your control. You're going to have to take your hands off the wheel and say, Lord, it's yours. Especially when those delays are coming and you're discouraged. You're going to do something stupid. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. God, give us the grace to learn to wait on Him. Delays, I said, were unavoidable, they're uncontrollable. And believe it or not, delays are understandable.
Amen.
God understands it all along. We don't understand in the delay, but looking back after it, we can often go, oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There's some things you pray for you ain't ready for. My granddaddy bought me a 12-gauge shotgun the day I was born. The day I was born, that's how he celebrated my birth. He went to Sears and Roebuck and bought me a 12-gauge pump shotgun. It's in my closet now. Years growing up, he let me look at it. Papa, can I take it out and shoot it? Like, no, boy. That thing will knock you in the middle of the next week. I wasn't always real big like this. Papa wouldn't turn me loose with that gun. I got about 12 years old. Papa said, hey, you want to clean your shotgun? It's one of my favorite things to do. I knew right where it was. So I went to the closet. I got it out. I cleaned that gun. Papa said, was there any shells in there? I said, yes, sir. He said, go get these shells. I said, you going to shoot? He said, you won't. My papa was wise enough to know not to let me have that. Before I was big enough to handle it.
Right.
It was mine. It was intended for me.
Yes, sir.
And I did get it, and I do still have it. I'm glad I got a Heavenly Father who's wise enough to know what I need and when I need it. He doesn't mind me asking for things. Sometimes I'm asking for things I'm not quite ready for. Sometimes delays are understanding. Sometimes delays are unnerving. They can get you all tore up. Can you imagine that day when they brought the news your daughter's dead? Sometimes delays result in unbelievable blessings. You ever heard of the old saying, good things come to those who wait? Don't be in such a hurry. Don't be in such a hurry. I remember, Brother Todd, you would come to be in Heavenly Coast. I remember as a young preacher, I wanted a pastor so bad. When the Lord revealed to me what His will was for my life, I thought for a long time I'd be an evangelist. Go in and make everybody mad and leave. The Lord revealed to me He wanted me to pastor. Man, I was so anxious. There was guys in our church, White Oak Springs, my home church, was a preacher factory.
Amen.
Had been, as it's known for that to this day, I'm talking about famous preachers come out of White Oak Springs. And I was watching preacher boys that I grew up with. One get a church here, one get a church there, one get a church here. Boy, I'm just, I'm showing my bills. God, you made mistakes. I preached for one church that didn't have a pastor. I told you about it the other day. The guy stopped me at the door, and Big Daddy rapped the deacon. He said, don't call us, we'll call you. One church, I told them. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but I'm supposed to be your pastor. They said, we'll let you know. I asked Brother Earl, my pastor, I said, what should I do? He said, be ready. He said, all these other boys are getting cards printed up and they're going around visiting churches, politicking, if you will. He said, you just be faithful. You be here on Wednesday night, unless you've got the morning. He said, that's the best thing I'm going to tell you to do. On Saturday night, I got a phone call. My dear friend, Robert Upton. He said, Brother Eddie J.M. is resigning. We need somebody to preach in the morning. I told him I'd come. Just a little handful of people. Brother Charles, I remember that Sunday morning. I know exactly how to tell you what to preach. Some things to do before you leave the mountain. I preached on Abraham and Isaac coming down off that mountain. I stood in that pulpit. The Lord said, I didn't let you go to none of them other places. love all them preacher boys that I grew up in church with. But every one of them, without fail, every one of them are no longer pastoring the church they left to pastor. Some of them aren't pastoring at all. Some of them are pastoring other churches. I'm glad God put me where he wanted me.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is worth the wait. Don't get upset in delays. You don't know what he might be protecting you from. Had to been for that traffic, it could have been me in the wreck. Just a few minutes earlier, I'd have been right there. Sometimes a delay is a blessing.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet. Expect delay.